What is up, Dimes on Duvalians? We are here with episode 124 of Dimes on Duval. Man, 124. Dimes on Duval is presented by Nerdy Nuts. And this is our first episode as a trio in God knows how long. I have no idea. So happy that we could all get together and do this. And welcome, gentlemen.
Howdy, howdy.
What's up, everyone? I know it's been a while. It's like, I think it's been definitely since mid-football season when we actually gave a damn about the Jaguars. And now look at us. We're caring about the Jaguars again.
January 7th was the last episode. So a month ago today was the last episode that was posted.
That was by you only.
That was me by myself. Then the two before that was Mike's solo episode and then just Mike and Skyler.
Which, by the way, I want to talk to you. I listened to the episode last time. You were like, why was Mike so quiet? I was recording late at night, and I live in a condo, so I got to keep quiet because my wife
is sleeping. I just wanted to shout that out because it was funny. Scott mentioned it, too. So
you were like, is he recording in a closet? I'm like, no, I'm not in a closet, but might as well be while I'm in a condo. So basically, it could be.
Yeah, and I'm happy that you were able to get that episode out, though. That was really big. And once again, thank you all for at least being able to tune in to hear us for our second episode of the calendar year of 2025. It's going to be a Jags heavy episode because we want to talk all the Jags news that we've kind of been, I don't want to say sitting on, but you know, we haven't been together or in a position to record together for a while. So got to talk about all of the Jags moves as well as a couple local updates. And of course, a word from our sponsor, Nerdy Nuts. So without further ado, guys, I think we just get started and start talking about those Jacksonville Jaguars. So first things first, and I'll let you guys take it away here with Liam Cohen becoming the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. Maybe not everyone's first choice, definitely not anybody's last choice. What are your thoughts on the hiring of Liam Cohen? Mike, you first.
Okay, I was going to say, let Skyler go first. As you can see in my background, people won't listen. Listening won't see it, but Bucks fans can get over it. They're a bunch of crybabies. They would do anything. They would do exactly what Liam Cohen did. Go back, they interview with another job, get a pay raise from their current employer. Oh, wait, this other company is hiring me at four times my salary. So, see ya. The NFL is a cutthroat business, and if you don't perform well, you get fired. So, I don't blame Liam Cohen for doing what he did. He could have handled it a little bit better, but honestly, I don't care because Bucks fans, from what I've read and seen in the last 20, 30 years, they'll fire their coach to hire the up-and-coming offensive coordinator to make their fans happy and make their offensive coordinator happy. It happened with Lovie Smith. It happened with Tony Dungy. They both got fired. And I, from what I've heard and read on Bucks forums and stuff over the last month, they probably would have fired Todd Bowles if they missed the playoffs and hired Liam Cohen as their head coach. So Bucks fans can get over it. I like Liam Cohen. I had a feeling, I'm surprised that manufactured this way. Like, he became our coach this way. But honestly, if he wins us a lot of games and improves Trevor Lawrence, it's all for naught. And I'm so glad we got him, and he's locked into our future. Just hopefully he's not going to be a flame out after 1 year, 2 years, whatever. So I like him. He made Baker Mayfield look very good, put incredible numbers up for Baker Mayfield. Now, I'm not saying Trevor could do the same thing, but I think there's definitely potential, and maybe he'll bring one of his players over from Tampa Bay in the near future. Who knows?
I'm with you there. I appreciate that sentiment there, especially the part that, you know, we needed to hire him, and the fact that we did hire him, the process was incredible. Skyler, I want to turn it over to you. Obviously, Liam Cohen is our head coach, but Trent Baalke got fired, and we've been begging for that for many moons. And do you think it's weird that it happened that way? Do you think Liam had all that power, or do you think that Shad finally just saw the light and maybe went on Twitter and saw what Jags fans were saying?
I mean, it's hard to know exactly, but I think ultimately it could be seen as a power move by Liam to be like, you know, under these circumstances, I'm not going to be here. And that's where we saw him withdraw his name. You know, Mike texted the group chat like right away. he's out. And so and my response was, nobody wants to come here now. And then just a few hours later, we hear about the Trent Baalke firing, and then everything else just starts to roll, and is a pretty interesting turn of events. But I think that just shows too that Shot is committed, even though he may not be right all the time. He understands that. That's why he's trying to have people around him that understand football. He just unfortunately sometimes trusts the wrong people, and that happens. And Trent Baalke has done this multiple places, and for Liam to create the scenario already is good. It's already creating a culture that's different than what we've had to the Doug Marrone days, even with Dave Caldwell as GM, and his power struggle almost to not want to pay the homegrown guys. Now, that's what Shad said. We need more players that are developed here to get, taken care of. And that's where Trevor got taken care of, Josh Allen got taken care of. And they obviously need to perform better, but that's where now we have a coach and a youthful coach. It looks like from the hirings, all the coaches are pretty youthful. And with that comes innovation and then sometimes dumb luck. And I think it's exciting. I think they also are locked in for 5 years while the stadium stuff's going on. So that's one of the benefits of always being a head coach in Jacksonville is the leniency that you receive being a head coach here versus going to New York or Chicago like Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson's going to have a ton of pressure, and he's already getting it from Jaguars fans when he hired Press Taylor as a pass specialist.
Yeah,
So,
that was quite a move there. I'm not sure about that, but yeah, no, Ben Johnson was one of those that, wanted to come here or was interested in coming here and withdrew his name as well. But Mike, you raised your hand. Did you want to add something to what that was said right there?
yeah, you guys just touched on it, especially you just now, Keith. Do you guys, and I want to maybe save it so maybe for you to give your thoughts, Keith, before I ask my
Oh, go
question.
ahead, go
So
ahead, go ahead.
I would say, do you think Ben Johnson, if they fired Trent Baalke a week before or day of like Black Monday, do you think Ben Johnson would have been the head coach here?
I do.
Skyler?
That's where I wonder, because like we saw reports where, in the front office they had Ben Johnson listed first, but Trevor Lawrence had Liam Cohen listed as his number one. So that's where I don't know if maybe Shad finally listened to his biggest investment here in Jacksonville, besides the big jumbotrons, and decided that was probably what was best, is to listen to his quarterback that's already going to be here for the future.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. What do you think, Mike?
I think if Ben Johnson, I mean, if Trent Baalke was gone, I think Ben Johnson would have been a Jaguar. I'd be shocked because I think Liam was the number two choice. I think Ben was number one. There was rumors that Jaguars across the league, the most attractive job, like for the most attractive candidate, it would check out. But since they didn't do it, it's been chaos. And I remember I texted Keith. I remember the Jaguars will never win a Super Bowl with Trent Baalke in charge. So I know he didn't say it on the podcast. I texted it late, but I think he was the reason why we did not get Ben Johnson. And it's gonna be curious how it works out in Chicago, because they kept their GM, and Ben Johnson chose that job over any other job with clean
Vacancies
houses or
in
non
other
like general
places.
managers still here. So it's like it's gonna be very interesting. It's like, I hate to bring it up because like 2021, yeah, 2021, the Jags and Lions were compared all the time. Or 2022, Jags Lions compared 1 and 2 because they're the number one pick, number two pick. The Lions have made the playoffs now 2 years in a row. Granted, this year was full of disappointment, but it's the
Awesome.
Jags and Lions were attached at the hip, and one team is going, seems like they're on the better track in Detroit. But now, are we going to be attached to the hip with another NFC North team in the Bears? Like, how are we, like, it's going to be interesting over the next 3 years who has the better success, Liam Cohen or Ben Johnson? It's going to be very interesting to see.
Yeah, because you had Detroit losing their coordinators, and it's going to be interesting to see how that evolves. Jared Goff's not getting any younger. It's still a very good team, but it's going to make things a little bit spicy in Detroit. But no, absolutely. You've got young quarterbacks in Jacksonville and Chicago. You got new head coaches that are bringing in a lot of new staff. And you never know. We might be compared. The only glaring difference to me, though, is the competition in the division. Our division is a cakewalk compared to the NFC North, where three out of the four teams did make the playoffs this past season. Granted, they all lost in the first round, but hey, making the playoffs is still an accomplishment. And Chicago had a nice start to the season, and then the brakes failed, and they just completely folded. So, we don't talk about the Bears on here. We don't like them. So, we're gonna move on though, just to talk about the staff though. Skyler, you mentioned that they are very young. Yes, the average age of the staff is 42 years old. I believe the only one that's younger was Sean McVay's first staff when he was becoming the head coach of the Rams. 174 seasons of collective experience and an average of 8.3 seasons per coach. Two of the notable hires today include passing game coordinator Shane Waldron and receivers coach Edgar Bennett, which Skyler reminded us was a null. I just no recollection of him, but he's before my time and Mike's time. But we have new coordinators in Grant Udinski, I think is how you say it, and Anthony Capinalli, Waldron, or not Waldron, I'm sorry. We have a lot of guys that are coming in that are fresh faces, but there are also some guys that were retained too. I will say that Bennett, though, I didn't mention, he's actually a local product who played at Lee High School under Corky Rogers before going on to FSU. That's pretty cool. 20 years in the NFL as a coach, so that's kind of cool. But yeah, but just scrolling through the list, John Van Dam was offensive pass game specialist. Some of the guys that were retained, I can't remember which ones were retained or not. I just don't feel like going through.
Was it the special teams guy, Keith Farwell, I believe, or
Yeah. Keith Farwell and
Heath
Richard Ngbolo
Farwell,
were
yeah,
retained.
Heath, yeah, and one of them, Jay Kaiser, I think one of those guys has been like with the Jags for like 17 years, and he's still with the team. He's an assistant to the head coach, but I don't know. I think we brought back the right guys. We got rid of the right guys, and this staff hopefully will come in, like Skyler said, youth movement. Hopefully we see some really positive stuff.
Light a
Scandals.
fire under these players' asses. I don't care. Do something.
Fire them up. Gamble more. I feel like we've been playing too conservative and too, for lack of a better term, too much like pussies. There's a lot of fourth downs where it's like, hey, I think we probably should have gone for that, and we don't, and then we lose the game anyway. But I want to see some tenacity, some grit, as the buzzword that everyone uses right now. And yeah, some fires lit under these guys' asses. So excited for that. That's the staff. Player news, and I think I'm going to turn this one over to Mike. Jacksonville defensive end Eric Armstead wins the Walter Payton Man of the Year. He has been in the running for the past like 5 years, I think. Each year, each obviously four of those with San Fran. This year is his first time winning. He is the second Jaguar to win, joining Calais Campbell, who won it in 2019. And yeah, they established the Armstead Academic Project in 2019 with a focus on providing students of all socioeconomic backgrounds with positive spaces, tools, and academic support to unlock their potential and achieve their goals. Mike, go ahead.
I'm happy for Eric or Arik or however you pronounce his name. But at least he gave something back to the community because he didn't give a damn towards the football team or give us a help us contribute to a win. So good for him, I guess. I don't like what? Like, and I saw people like, oh, Eric won. Cool. What has he done to help us win a football game? Like, congrats to him on that. Cool. Maybe it'll help make a Hall of Fame. I don't really care. But like at least he gave something to the Jaguars fans community, because he certainly didn't give Jaguars fans any positive thoughts about him and his play as a Jaguars in 2024. So, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah,
That's my
you
mad 30 seconds because why are we celebrating this? Why? I get why, but I'm like, do something on the field for me to care.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I
Skyler,
wish
you got something to
I
say?
wish
Go ahead.
well I just wish that Clay has been would have been retained the year after he won his Walter Payton versus Auric, because Clay's deserved to stay here in Jacksonville, but I don't know, hopefully
He's the true mayor of Jacksonville.
yeah, he's the mayor of Saxonville, just swinging for the fences every time. So, yeah, no. Obviously, it's great to know that the community has some. We have some good players on this team in terms of that, but yeah, hopefully he can get some more production with this new coaching staff. Because yeah, last year was not great.
It was abysmal.
Obviously,
It was like we were out there playing.
whole defense was bad. Yeah, I mean, if I was out there, I would have been pancaked, but that's the only difference.
To be fair, not much difference. Eric Armstead might as well have been pancaked too a few times.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been out of breath, like on my
So it looked
back,
like he
just.
was too half the time.
Well,
But literally, we
that's
could do
probably
the
how
same
his
thing he
baby
did,
first
but we would be paid much less, and it'd be saving the Jaguars money.
You know, that's how his baby was conceived too. He was just on his back, out of breath. Just.
Also, one thing, he's doing the same thing we're doing, podcasting too. Like, might as well do the same thing. If we get paid a quarter of what he got paid, we'd all be living lovely, lovely lives right now.
Yeah. Oh,
We could probably
absolutely.
split that too.
Probably
But.
so. Well, the last note on him, he does receive, actually, each of the nominees receive $55,000 donation in their name to a charity of their designation. Oh, but Armstead gets $265,000 for a charity of his
Can
choice.
he donate it back to the Jaguars for the funds he robbed the team of this year?
And there's
He's
my
his own
guarantee,
charity
everyone.
case.
That
The Jaguars
was
may
how
as well
you
be a
really
charity
feel.
case, so.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Oh,
All
and
their fans are in need of victories.
yeah. I forgot to mention one big thing. Tony Boselli is named the executive vice president. Skyler, go ahead. Do you like it?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I like it, and to the extent of that, I do like players being in positions of decision making. I do not like it in terms of Tony Boselli's been like a kiss butt, in a lot of cases in the past, like with Trent Baalke and other personnel that we've had here. Like, he's been too friendly. Oh, maybe that's just over the broadcast, but. Within the office, he might be a different character. He could probably be his actual football persona, where he's mean Tony, and we can actually see some actual progress and movement within the front office towards the better.
So I kind of agree and disagree with you there, Skylar. I think he's just spewing the company line. He's a company man. He gets paid by the Jaguars. He no longer works broadcast for the NFL. Like he doesn't work for Westwood One anymore. He's focused strictly on Jaguars radio and any appearances by the Jaguars. So he's a company man. Same with JP Shadrick. Same with JP Shadrick. Same with Lagemann. Same with Brian Sexton. Same with all of them. They all spew the company line, try to make it attractive to other people. He's going to support everyone who works for that team. He helped bring Liam Cohen in. He may have helped get Trent Baalke out. We don't know. But like I think he's just going to always spew good things about whoever's employed. I'm pretty sure he complimented Urban Meyer at one point when
Oh, yeah.
like it's just that's who you all always defend the company that pays your checks. That's it. Now, again, I should clarify. Depends on the person, it depends on the company. Like me, everyone knows my feelings towards my current employer, whatever. But yeah, no, it's just like you're gonna always defend your employee or your employer because especially in their positions, like they don't work any like they work for us, they help bring Jacksonville's name out. He is our only Hall of Famer, so he does owe, I think he feels a little bit of gratitude towards the organization as a whole. So that's probably why I think he spews company BS, but it is what it is. That's who he is. But now I think he's in an EVP position. It's a little different now. It's gonna have to be. So I just hope one thing with this position, Jaguar fans got really tired of Tom Coughlin near the end. And it was a nasty quote unquote divorce. I just hope it doesn't affect his relationship with the team and also his relationship with the city. Tom Coughlin, yes, he came back to Jacksonville, got his name in the pride of the Jaguars. Yes, I get that. But that took some time because everyone, I think, around town, yes, he has the J Fund, yes, all that, but he's still, I think some fans still have some ill will towards Tom Coughlin, whether that be from the 90s, early 2000s, or from 2018, 2019. So I just hope Tom Coughlin, I'm sorry, Tony Boselli does not have that issue come up in 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, if he's the EVP for however long he is in Jacksonville.
And I'm with you. I Tony Boselli's been a PR guy ever since he started doing radio stuff. He is always going to be touting that positive image of the team no matter what's going on. Yeah, I mean, obviously 1010XL is the flagship station of the Jaguars, so obviously even more incentive to not talk bad about the team because
Well,
for him
okay, for him.
specifically,
Okay, yeah,
for him
because I've seen other
specifically.
radio personalities do that, and they
Yeah,
still.
or no other ones. Yeah, well, if you're like a Rick Ballew or whatever. Well, actually, he gets employed by him too. If you're a hacker, no, he does that. He does the post game show.
No, Hickett and Prosser, those
Hickett
two
and
will go at
Prosser.
the Jaguars a
Yeah,
lot.
yeah. So like, as someone else in the radio, absolutely go ahead and talk your trash. But for him, I think his goal is to be has been to be in this position for a while, and I think that window finally started to open, especially during this offseason or this season with everything going the way it did. And I think he needs to be a mix of what you both said. I think he needs to be the PR guy to show the public, positive things. But I also think he does need to go dig back into those trenches days where he was a badass and he was mean and ugly and whatever, and really light a fire under these guys because we fans are just, we're over that. We are over it.
No, I was gonna say I was doing the motion like when Boselli told Jason Taylor, "Come on, I beat you
Oh,
out
Jason Taylor. I thought you
for
were saying,
this.
like,
Like,
come
come
on,
on,
come to me, come to me. I was like,
yeah.
okay,
Like, that's what I want to see that from this offense. I want to see this from this team."
yeah. I want us to be the team where people are like, fuck, we got to play Jacksonville. Kind of like it was in 2017 when our fans were insane and everything like that. No one wanted to play us because they hated our fans. And I love that. That is a pride and joy thing right there. Like, no one wants to hate a team's fans because they're like Philly fans because they're racist. But like, I want them to hate us because we're so passionate and we're there. We're Golden State fans where they packed the house no matter when they were good or bad. Well, I don't know if we'll ever get to that, but I want to be able to go to a game next year and not sit here and think, God damn, this again, and just worry about getting a sunburn and paying $20 for a water or something like that.
Speaking of sunburn, look at this kid's face.
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing to your point, Mike, about with Tom Coughlin being hated and hoping Tony doesn't get hate that hate in future. The way I look at it is like Tom Coughlin will always be like that strict parent that like you kind of rebel against, and then like you do some things, and then eventually you come to appreciate them. But Tony Boselli will, I feel like in Jacksonville's eyes, be like the firstborn child, like that was the star of everything. So it'll just be precious memories forever with Tony, no matter what kind of different mistakes he might make. He might have defenders forever, but
Speaking of memories, I'm going to miss Jaguars happy hour with Boselli and Prisco because I guarantee you that's going to come to an end, or it's going to be a little different. Maybe it'll just be Prisco and maybe another Jaguars legend. Bring MJD on. MJD and Prisco, I would love to see
Baby
that.
Shadrick.
Well, Shadrick, yeah, but
Don't be.
he doesn't have football thoughts like Boselli did.
Yeah.
So seeing MJD and Prisco would be hilarious because Prisco hates running backs, so this would actually be hilarious.
It could be like Bucky Brooks, probably.
Yeah, it's gonna be someone who I think Prisco has worked with like in the past. Like obviously Boselli he worked
Yeah.
with him, he was reporting here. So maybe well, I'll say Brunell, but Brunell's not gonna do that, so
Yeah. Well, Brunell's gonna be working for probably the Jets, maybe. I don't know. But We got to go to a game next year because then they're going to be out of town for the next 2 years after that. But
Speaking of which, did we ever discuss the 2025 opponents?
not sure if we did or not, but
I know obviously the last episode was January 7th, and that was
I may have by
it was
myself.
ending that day, so
I don't know. Well, here, I got them right here. You ready?
yeah. Let's go.
Home games, you got the Colts, Texans, Titans, of course. You've got Chiefs, Chargers, Rams, Seahawks, Jets, Panthers.
Pretty good schedule.
Home games, away games, Colts, Texans, Titans, Cardinals, Broncos, Raiders, Niners, Bengals. That West Coast swing is brutal.
So, which game do you think? Obviously, we get one home London game. Do we still have one road London game?
Only
Or...
one game in London next year.
Okay, so one game. So we don't have a road game, so it's just the home game.
I believe so, yeah.
So which home game do you think gets sent to London? Let's just make our predictions from now, because obviously it comes out in the spring, I think, or maybe around draft time.
I don't know. Do they make the
Do
West
we
Coast
know
teams
what
go
team?
out there?
We've played the Cowboys out there, we've played the Niners out there, so they'll send a West Coast team
Okay.
out
All
there.
right. So I guess that doesn't matter.
Yeah. Are there like certain opponents that are excluded? Like which teams are having London
I
home
don't
games
think
this year as
there's an
well?
ex I don't think there's an exclusion.
I'm gonna say my quick guess would be the Carolina Panthers.
I
It's a little
honestly was
cat
thinking the
battle.
same, to be honest.
I think it's gonna be the Jets just because.
Well, the Jets played there last year though, as a home team, did they, or were they the road
Who?
team last year? The Jets played in London last year, but I don't know if or they played in Germany. No, that was New York and New York and Carolina played in Germany last
Oh,
year.
the Jets will play a regular season home game in London in 2025. So maybe not them.
Yeah, not the Jets. So that's where like maybe Carolina probably is still potentially an option, but they played in Germany last year.
I mean, I'd love
So
for
the
it to be.
Jaguars and Browns. So the Jaguars and Browns will be playing in London as well. So
It
Jets,
might.
Browns are playing in London.
It would be interesting if they did an interdivisional match. Send the Texans over there, Jaguars, Texans.
I'd rather not lose a division game personally, but I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's where I like. Well, I guess they have because we played the Colts over there, like when Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback and Allen Hurns had that diving touchdown. So they do divisional matches. So
It
those aren't
might
out of the cards.
be, but I'm going to go ahead and make my pick of the Seahawks then. If the Jets already have a home game, it's going to be the Seahawks. That's my guess for 2025.
Fine. I'll say the Rams then.
I'm gonna go Texans. Final answer.
Texans. All right. Well, this
Where's
will be
my
good to know.
pen? I need my pen. I got a new multicolor pen that was like all the rage when we were in like grade school. Let's see here. All right. What did you say? What'd you say, Mike?
Seahawks and Skylar said the Texans, and you said the Rams.
Got it. Okay.
Because
Well,
only one team moved to LA.
true. It'd be really sad if it was the Chiefs or the Chargers, because Chiefs, for obvious reasons, you want to see Patrick
The
Mahomes
three
again.
Peters.
Yeah. And then for the Chargers, it's just kind of like the FU kind of thing to them, because I'm pretty sure that was the last time they played here is when we beat them. So it was like, ha-ha, you remember us? Just to kind of piss them off a little bit. And I'm sure the fans would love that. And I'm sure they'd do like a tribute or something like that on the Jumbotrons. But it's going to be an interesting schedule. We'll do our, of course, when the official schedule release week by week comes out, we will be doing our predictions for the season. And I'm okay with that. I did forget to mention that the offensive coordinator is only 29 years old. I think that's just kind of cool. Like, he's younger than we
It's kind
are.
of weird that we're older than the offensive coordinator, but
Yeah,
okay.
I just feel
But
incredibly ancient thinking about
he
that.
made Sam Darnold look really good this year, so that's a good sign.
He did.
Grant
He did.
Yudkowsky or whatever.
Yeah, it's his sixth season coaching in the NFL. His first as an offensive coordinator. He was the assistant offensive coordinator and assistant quarterbacks coach for the Vikings. And they finished in the top 10 in multiple categories, including sixth in passing yards per game, fifth in passing yards per attempt, ninth in points per game. And Minnesota was, this is a great one. You'll love this one, guys. Minnesota was 9-1 in one possession games.
And we were what, 0-10 in one possession games?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it was really, 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 really bad. So yeah, just thought that was kind of interesting. So that is that. Any other Jaguars stuff that I missed that we want to touch on before I get into the
Was it
local update?
just I mean the Pro Bowl stuff, right?
Oh well, yeah, of course.
Logan.
I mean, I don't know anything about Pro Bowl, but I thought you were gonna say Super Bowl.
I want to see what your guys' thoughts are. Do you think, and this is something I saw someone mention on X, Tony Boselli, we were talking about the EVP stuff earlier. He mentioned that he will be responsible for, in addition to his role in football leadership unit, he'll be responsible for player engagement, football technology, football travel, logistics, equipment, sports performance, team security, football communications.
Oh yeah, I know
One
where you're
key
going
word
with
that
this.
struck out to me was
Equipment.
equipment.
Yeah.
Do you think they're bringing back the prowling jaguar?
They have to. Have to. Have to.
It's not like it's a secondary uniform, it might be the primary one. Because I'm almost positive the Jaguar car company got rid of the logo and now it's open. I'm almost positive I read that somewhere.
I don't know if
Oh,
the
you're talking that original.
Yeah,
That
I don't know
original
if the
logo, because now
trademark is gone yet.
the
They got rid
Jaguar
of
is
the
now
logo.
no
Yeah.
longer the leaping Jaguar. I'm pretty sure it's just a J now.
No, it's terrible.
So
It's one of the worst logo changes of all time. But I don't know if that means the trademark is expired, because sometimes, a lot of these companies buy it for X amount of years and they just buy a new one for whatever their
I
new one
mean,
is.
in November they said that they rebranded and it's new logo,
Right.
so
Well,
I
that's what
wonder.
I'm saying,
Well,
but like they would still have rights
just
to it,
a funny
probably.
to Keith's point, I think I saw Pat Riley owns the term three-peat, or like multiple term like
He does.
forms of three-peat, so
Yep.
they won't be able to publish Kansas City three-peat like in certain
I know, I'm
like
saying, could
apparel.
it be if the Jaguar car company let go of the trademark,
If they
I
did, yeah,
wonder if they
they
would
would have
have
to.
to.
You'd be idiots not to.
Yeah, if that were the case, but I don't know, like to Keith's point, how long that trademark has been licensed for.
Hopefully it falls apart and we can just ditch these candy ass colors, candy ass, not colors, but logo, and go with the leaping jaguar again, because I will drop whatever I would drop so much money on the leaping jaguar.
I drew some modern throwbacks one like with that one, so I think no, I agree. Those I think they need to do like a silver pan edition, like they did, like they displayed in 95, with they had the jaguar across the shoulder and then the silver helmet with the black face mask. I think they need to do something like that, just to do. I mean, every part of this history and the team needs to be celebrated, if they want to be a functional NFL franchise. But obviously we're the Jaguars, so that's not the case. So one can only hope, though.
One can only hope. I agree. I agree. Yeah, I'm not. I haven't been able to find anything on Google, but I'm not
So
really
that was
searching
just
that
my
hard.
last thought on that, because on Jags, so I was like, equipment.
I also can't imagine them unveiling new uniforms while they're playing. They're like the first season of the new uniforms in Orlando or
Oh
Gainesville
no, they
or.
would wait. They would
Yeah.
absolutely wait until the new stadium is built and
It'd
then
either be
just do it
this
all at once.
year. It's either this year or 2028. Or yeah, 2028. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean,
Phew.
maybe this year with the new coaches and stuff, because we're well beyond the 5-year timeline for new uniforms too.
So.
So it's a good thought. I don't want to get too excited because I'm shaking now. So.
I know. We get let down too often, so let's not think about that too much. Anything else, Jaguars? I do want to get your Super Bowl thoughts before I get into the local update.
I
No? All
think that's
right.
it,
So
Jaguar
Super Bowl.
example.
Just simple
Well,
as this.
yeah.
Three-peat. Or did the Eagles finally win?
Kyle, you go
I
first.
know.
All right, I got Saquon Barkley, historic display, Super Bowl legend going on to his belt, as the Eagles literally run away with it. So that's maybe not score-wise, but they just are going to run. Saquon's going to run, and I got the Eagles.
Keith.
Three-peat. Taylor Swift comes out at halftime and performs with Kendrick Lamar, and Travis Kelce
Okay,
gets a
that is
boner,
that's a bold prediction there.
and he scores a touchdown in his final Super Bowl before he retires, and the Chiefs three-peat, and no one cheers except for the eight Chiefs fans in Kansas City.
Did you just say Pat Mahomes retires?
No,
No, before
Kelce.
Kelce retires. Oh,
Yeah.
Travis Kelce retires?
Yeah, I kind of think Travis Kelce retires regardless for win or loss. I think
He wasn't good this year.
he's struggling. So I hate to be the tiebreaker. I was hoping you guys would both pick one side, I just go with the other, but I think this is a three-peat. I really think okay. I actually love this matchup. I think it's gonna be a good game. These are two of the best teams in the league. There's no debate about it. Buffalo did get screwed a little bit, I think, a few weeks ago, but I'm not gonna be mad about this result. Either way, I think it's gonna be a good game. I'm happy either way, personally. I think the Chiefs three-peat, and it now starts the conversation of, is Mahomes the GOAT? Because he has been unreal. He's had some garbage receivers. He won a Super Bowl 2 years ago with garbage receivers.
And he didn't
Like,
even have a great season this year, statistically
yeah,
speaking. Like,
he just had
his
an
numbers were
average
eh.
season, but he just has that clutch gene, and it's disgusting. Like, but I can also see, you can make an argument either way. I think the Chiefs do win. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be much like the first matchup 2 years ago. I think the Chiefs pull it out with their black magic. Somehow, some way, they do it. And people hate the refs. I don't think they impacted the game 2 weeks ago, except for that one call, which was very iffy. So that was like a 50-50
That
call.
was a 50-50 call for me. They have affected the season quite certainly, but
But
not in that situation that you're talking about. I agree.
I think the Chiefs are so sick and tired of being associated with their Met refs, and they're like, okay, we're gonna win this. With no debate. Like, I think they're gonna win. I think it's gonna be a good game, but I think the Chiefs do win by at least a touchdown.
That's their motivation this year. It's kind of like how Kirby Smart tells the Bulldogs, everyone's doubting us this year. No one thinks we're gonna win it. And meanwhile, they've always been
To be fair,
predicted
though,
to
we've been
win, but
saying that about the
that's
Chiefs, though, for the last 2 years. So
no,
they've been
you're no,
wrong.
you're not wrong. It's the Chiefs have done incredible black magic stuff, voodoo, all that. The voodoo is going to come alive here in New Orleans, but yeah, no, it was, yeah, I'm probably the dumb one to pick against the Chiefs,
I don't
but
think it's a dumb pick. I don't think it's a
not a
dumb
dumb
pick as a
pick.
fan.
Well, of all the teams in the playoffs
No,
in
I
the
mean,
NFC, I think they were the ones that had the best chance, or that have the best
yeah,
chance.
no, I totally get that, but like to pick against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs is literally quite dumb. But
Man, you're not putting any money on
I
it, so
do
you're
believe
fine.
they want. No, yeah, I'm not Mike. I'm not. Yeah. I don't have money like that. So. Saquon though, I've just been so excited to watch him. Like watching that NFC Championship game last week was pretty nice. Just watching that first run, and then seeing like all the flashbacks from HBO Hard Knocks preseason or whatever, not the preseason but training camp. That was I don't know how that GM still has a job honestly, but
Well, he's on the hot seat going next year, so
yes, indeed.
very, very hot. I mean, especially if the Eagles win.
yeah,
Yeah. All
I
right.
and let I'm gonna say Super Bowl MVP will be Saquon Barkley, even though they lose. So
Oh, interesting. I see that too. He's gonna have 206.
actually, you know what, I take that back. I'm gonna go with Kareem Hunt as Super Bowl MVP.
Taylor Swift.
That's a good guess, yeah. I'll just say Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes is the easy pick, but yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's the Super Bowl coming up. By the time you all listen to us, you should be getting ready for it. Hopefully, you've all bought your goodies that you want to snack on during the game, or you've got plans. It's another Super Bowl that the Jags aren't in, so it's just sad. No, I'm just kidding. It is what it is. We all know that was coming. But speaking of sad, let's transition into some more sad news. Some restaurants in Jacksonville that have closed recently, and a few that have opened too. So we'll make it sad and happy. First on the list is a staple of Atlantic Beach dining, 42 years being open, Ragtime Tavern Seafood and Grill has closed its doors. Only had 12 tables back in 1983, and they've been known for their Cajun-style seafood. They just closed their doors. I actually don't know why. It doesn't really say why, but I don't know if either of you have been to Ragtime, but it was a staple of Atlantic Beach.
No, I've been to Ragtime. Rachel's mom's actually a big fan, so we have a sign that she stole from Ragtime right after they closed. It says Orange Juice, the Glasgow School, but no, she stole that from Ragtime after the news
That's right. I
broke.
used to see it on Facebook because you would be tagged in it. And I would just see, I'm like, dang, they're always at Ragtime. And my ex was a server there, Brooke. I don't know if you guys ever had her as a server, but yeah.
I don't
We
even
were
know who
known.
that is, but
That was a long time ago. That was like high school. But anyway, so with one closing, we go with one opening. Bagels R Us has opened right here on
what?
Adams Street.
Okay.
No, they open.
I
I was
think
saying with a
I was
bad
like,
thing, a good thing happens. Bagels R Us just opened like right across from the courthouse. So I'm going to go there and get some bagels soon. Really excited
I
about
got
this.
so scared.
I'm
Yeah, I
sorry.
like Bagels R Us on San Pablo. No, I stop there. I get the Taylor ham, with
Yeah.
American cheese on a plain. It's good. It's
Mike, have
good.
you ever had Taylor ham?
No.
Do you know what it is?
Oh, no.
It's pork roll.
It's good.
And it comes in just like thin slices. So we used to buy it from the store when I was a kid. It comes in a circle and you cut like a little slice in it. So when you put it on the pan, it doesn't like curl up. But oh God, I used to eat that all the time. People call it pork roll, people call it Taylor ham. It's kind of like one of those things where it's like, oh, what do you call it? It depends on where you're from, kind of thing. Delicious. I recommend it. You should get it on a bagel.
It's like a pork chop in bologna form.
That's a good way to put it. It's quite tasty though. Anyway, so that was an opening, so a new closing. This one, I remember when it opened. I was working at an academy on Southside, and Buffalo Wild Wings was announcing they were going into the Avenues Mall, and I'm like, oh wow, that's really convenient. So one day on my lunch break, my buddy in team sports, his girlfriend at the time was a server there. He's like, yeah, we should go here. She might hook us up. We got some free food, but we obviously paid for others. I'm like, this is so cool. I'm so glad it's here. Fast forward, the service got worse. They didn't change the channels. The bathrooms were disgusting. The food came out cold or wrong or sauceless. And now it's closed. So the Avenues Mall lose another anchor restaurant. I think, the addition of the Ale House, even though it's been there for a couple of years, Ale House just kind of drove them away because they were better in every way, shape, and form. And so, with Ruby Tuesday closing a few years ago, being replaced by a Mexican restaurant now Buffalo Wild Wings is gone. And you know what? Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Learn how to be better, and we
Two
won't.
things on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
We went there. I went there recently. No, not recently. It's been about 2 months now. December 14th. I remember it because my brother used to work there, so you can't see it. Anyway, we were there. Me, Julia, my mom and dad, we were out Saturday lunch, typical family thing, family lunch, whatever. We were in the area. Let's go eat at Ale House. I'm sorry, at Buffalo Wild Wings at the Avenues. We got there. There's no one at the host stand.
Never.
Probably three tables with people, and we're waiting. And there's like 10 people who walked in probably shortly before, shortly after us total. So there's probably a good amount of people waiting to be seated. The host or whoever said, "Hey guys, just to let you know, we are working with one server and one cook."
Holy cow.
So we all walked out. We're like, not happening. So, and this is at 1:15 p.m. on a Saturday. So, mind you, granted, it's Saturday, college football is done, but still, whatever. It should be busy. Yeah, no. One cook, one server. And I saw that and I was like, this is the last time I'm coming here. But you know what my favorite memory is, or least favorite memory of this place was? Keith, you might remember this. I don't know if you remember,
Oh, God.
but we watched the Magic Draft. What's his face? Mario
Mario Hezonja.
at that draft, at that Ale House, at that Buffalo Wild Wings. And I swear. That Buffalo Wild Wings is cursed because Mario Hezonja sucked. He is trash. So good riddance to that place because God, that was terrible. I'm pretty sure we watched us draft Jonathan Isaac too, but
There's Mario Hezonja's card right up there.
Yeah, he sucks. He's a
Jersey
bum.
worn.
He's a bum. He's not
Fine.
even
All
playing
right.
basketball anymore. But that's literally the only memory I
He
have when
does
we
play. He's
talk about
really good on like Real Madrid, man. He's like the best player in Europe right now. One of the best players in Europe.
Well, yeah, but that's one memory I have of that place, and it's one of the worst memories because that place sucked.
And that's totally fair. And see, this is why I bring these up. I love these stories of the past. So that was a closure. So new opening. Five Guys just opened up on Roosevelt Boulevard, right near the Chick-fil-A that I used to work at. Really good news for that area because they've been itching for some new restaurants to come in. Like since I worked there, every restaurant has been basically the same. Five Guys just opened in like right in the front. You can't miss it. As well as Chicken Salad Chick will be opening soon. So they're not there yet. I don't like chicken salad, so that doesn't really affect me, but just wanted to let you guys know that one.
Well, I don't like chicken salad, but chicken salad chick's pretty good. I recommend trying it because they've got so many different flavors that you probably would like.
So,
I get
like,
like the
what
buffalo.
would you get?
I get like the buffalo chicken one. You can get it as a sandwich or whatever,
Okay, I can see that.
and they got good potato soup. They got one that's got chicken bacon ranch in it and cheese.
Okay. All right. All right. Maybe you've convinced me, Skylar.
Give
Yeah.
it a try. It's I recommend it. It's like I said, I don't like chicken salad, but I like
Yeah.
chicken salad chick.
Okay. Right on. Another closure after 18 years of cupcakes. Cami Cakes in Tinseltown has closed. That one was right next to the Mellow Mushroom, if you guys remember. I remember going there as a teenager and my friend drove us, and it was the first time I'd ever had like a cupcake from a shop or something. And I'm like, this is really good. And I, over the years, probably had it two or three other times, but Cami Cake's gone. Sweets by Holly is gone. All the
Yeah.
gourmet cupcake places are
That's
just
what the other one
disappearing.
was gone was. I went to Sweet by Holly once and saw Jordan Shipley there, and they actually had a Void magazine where he was actually like on the cover of that Void magazine. So he signed that Void magazine while he was in the Sweet by Holly for me. Texas Longhorn legend.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Catch me. Oh.
I got you. I think the only other opening that I have on this list is Southern Grounds opened a location in St. Augustine. So if you like Southern Grounds, which I do, it's a great thing that they're open now on King Street in St. Augustine. And the last closure I have is Toss Green, that fast casual salad place. It was in Riverside. Nobody really cares, but it was right next to my barbershop, so I just thought it was kind of sad to see it gone.
Mini bar closed down too. That
That
was
same
crazy.
barbershop.
Wait, whoa, say that again, Mike.
Mini bar closed down end of last year.
Which one?
The one on Gay Parkway.
Already?
Oh yeah, they're gone. They've been gone. Lucky Goat
What was it
Coffee's taking
closed?
over.
Mini bar. I went in there and I got donuts for, was it Scott's wedding or something? I remember going in there with Scott to get donuts.
Oh. Yeah,
Holy,
they're
mini bar's
already
been, yeah, mini
oh,
bar
that's
closed down.
crazy.
I want to say it was end
Wow.
of December. Let me double check exactly.
Yeah, permanently closed. Holy cow. November 13th is when they sent
Oh
the
yeah, so they last
article.
closed. They closed on November 24th. Yeah, I drive by it a lot. Lucky Goat's taken over.
Dang,
That
wow.
is, to be
Coffee's
fair, that place,
breaking news
that
by
actually,
Mike.
that coffee place will do numbers.
Probably.
Lucky Goat Coffee, yeah.
Well, yeah, I learned
That's
something
cool.
today. I had no idea. I guess the last thing is just God, yeah, we're at an hour, so let's wrap up and talk about Nerdy Nuts real quick. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the number one flavor for Nerdy Nuts has been selling out in like seconds is the Viral Dubai Chocolate Bar. Do you guys
Ooh.
know what that is?
The
It's
Dubai
got
chocolate bar?
something in it, right?
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
I'm trying to ask, like, what is a Dubai chocolate bar?
So it's let me pull up the exact way to explain it. It's basically milk chocolate, dark chocolate, or white chocolate, whatever. You know, do you guys know what the Arabic dessert kanafi is?
Yeah, kanafi. They call it katafi
It's
here
the
at
it's
Dubai.
the it's like the strings. I don't know. I call them strings. I don't know what they're called. but it's they
Yeah, no, it's
basically
like strands. Yeah.
strands. Thank you.
Like that shredded stuff.
Yeah, shredded strands. Put it with pistachio cream. You put it in. You put milk chocolate over it. You make it into a bar.
Okay.
It's very
So the peanut butter
good.
version
Here's a
is.
plug. Oh, I was gonna say. Never mind. I was gonna
Oh,
say a plug for a local place here, but
go plug it. Who
I'll
cares?
say Hala's on University and Shad has Dubai chocolate bar. So if you want to go local, if you want to get it quicker, go there. Very good. So.
All right, well, have them become a sponsor then. the
I
nerdiness
felt like
description.
I was just gonna say I felt like we were on like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and we just phoned our Middle Eastern friend as
The
our lifeline.
nerdy nuts version is smunchy sweet milk chocolate peanut butter swirled with shredded and crunchy kataifi or Kneffy, topped with pistachio cream and chocolate chips. And literally, it says here underneath with like a bunch of stars, due to extremely high demand, orders containing Dubai chocolate bar can take 4 to 5 business days, not including shipping time to process. That is pretty crazy. So that one will be out again for everyone to use, as well as the other flavors. Oh man, I just had it and it just went away. Oh, cake batter crunch, turtle cheesecake, chocolate cake delight, king cake, which is perfect for a Fat Tuesday coming up, cookie skillet, caramel and cookie twist, maple bar. Those will all be dropping this Sunday at 7 p.m. And oh, Mike just jumped off. He didn't give us his draft pick before we sign off here. So I guess I'll say without further ado. Oh, of course. If you order Nerdy Nuts, don't forget to use our promo code DIMES10 to receive 10% off your purchase. And I will see that you did it, and I will give you a shout out on the pod, of course, because we love anybody that uses our promo code. But for Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts, he is Skylar Chase. I'm Keith Manzi. Mike dipped out. I don't have a draft pick for you, so Skylar, you get the end of the show.
Oh boy. I don't know who. I don't even know who. I guess
You don't have to
one
say a
of those
draft pick. You
musicians
can just say
has
something random.
something random. No,
Something
I was gonna say
random.
that turtle cheesecake nerdy nuts. That sounds like it's got my name written all over it, and the
I've heard
bathroom.
that
But
one is
that's my problem.
incredibly popular as well. It is not even available right now. So, turtle cheesecake.
Oh
Let me
no.
just read it to you. This will be the ending here. All right. Turtle cheesecake is our white chocolate cheesecake peanut butter with swirls of rich caramel cheesecake frosting, topped with chocolate chips and chopped pecans. No shame in the game if you go back for a second spoonful. I'd probably eat the whole jar.
Yeah,
But
same.
anyway,
I bought some. Yeah.
good call. All right, thank you all for listening. Appreciate you all for tuning in. This has been another episode of Dimes on Duval presented by Nerdy Nuts, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Peace.